जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी चन्ना बल्ला गुरु राधा धारी गोपी चन्ना बल्ला गुरु राधा धारी यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन चन्न चीरावनचारी चन्न चीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी चन्न बल्ला गुरु राधाधारी यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन चन्न चीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी चरण विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमद जवान ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की जय इसकान पांड चार जवान ग्रे श्री प्रभुपाद की गोपानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Nam Nam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutala Jinnade Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vachanane Nira Vishesha Sunni Bhari Vaschachi Deja Tarane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya भगवते वासुदेवा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवा This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 6. Killing of the demon Putana. We have verses going from 22 to 26. Okay. So let's see. What I'd like to do this morning, something a little different here, is that there are a lot of these verses, the gopis are asking for the protection of the child Krishna by reciting the names of the Lord in his different forms. And I'd like to see if we can all get into this mood of maternal affection for Krishna. This section is particularly rich with instruction on maternal affection for Krishna. Not only the false affection of the false motherhood of Putana, which we've been fortunate to hear from the devotees over the last several days, but now a broader maternal affection for Krishna, something that Putana achieved. Putana, we know, achieved the position of Krishna's mother in the spiritual world. Now, what that position actually is, what that maternity actually is at least in part described in how the gopis here, the elderly gopis particularly, prayed for the protection of Krishna. So their maternal affection comes out in these prayers. And so what I would like to do, if it's permissible with all of you today, is for all of us to read in unison the English translation of the verses that we have to cover today, which go from 22 to 26, because they contain the names of the Lord as chanted by the gopis, and thus contain their maternal affection for Krishna. And we can participate in that if we all chant together. It might be easier for us to chant in our mother tongue. Most of us have our mother tongue as English than Sanskrit. Obviously, if we chant it in Sanskrit, then that would be better. But since particularly my pronunciation and recitation of Sanskrit is not that inspiring, maybe at least if we all chant together in English or mother tongue, we can gain this feeling, this maternal feeling for protecting Krishna that is described in these verses today. So I think that we can have it up there and we can all respond to chant together in unison. And that way all of our voices can raise this maternal affection. Is that all right? We do that. Sukadeva Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that the gopis, following the proper system, protected Krishna, their child, with this mantra: may Aja protect your legs, may Mahimam protect your knees, Yajna your thighs, Achyuta the upper part of your waist, and Hayagriha your abdomen, may Keshava protect your heart, Isha your chest, the sun god your neck, Vishnu your arms, Urukana your face, and Ishvara your head. May Chakri protect you from the front. May Srihari, Gadadhari, the carrier of the club, protect you from the back. And may the carrier of the bow, who is known as the enemy of Madhu, and Lord Ajana, the carrier of the sword, protect your two sides. May Lord Uzziah, the carrier of the conch shell, protect you from all corners. May Upendra protect you from above. May Garuda protect you on the ground. And may Lord Haridwar, the Supreme Person, protect you on all sides. May Hrishikesha protect your senses, and Narayana your life air. May the master of Swetadweep protect the core of your heart, and may Lord Hrishwara protect your mind. Next one. May Lord Prishnigarbha protect your intelligence, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead your soul. While you are playing, may Govinda protect you, and while you are sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are walking, and may Lord Narayana, the husband of the goddess of fortune, protect you while you are sitting. Similarly, may Lord Yajnabhuk, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. Thank you very much. We'll read the short purport that Prabhupada has written to text number 22 and 23. Purport, even in the houses of the cultivators who are not very advanced in the modern ways of civilization, the ladies used to know how to chant mantras to give protection to children with the help of cow dung and cow urine. This was a simple and practical way to give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. People should know how to do this, for this is a part of Vedic civilization. Om Agyanata Marandasya Ganam Jama Shalakaya Chakshuram Yuritam Yen Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Prabhupada says here in the purport that this was taking place in Braja. And in Braja, the people living there were, as Prabhupada says, cultivators here. Protectors of the cows, very much rooted in the earth. And cultivators, in the houses of the cultivators. Now, they were in advance in the modern ways of civilization. So I would like you to contrast this picture of Sri Vrindavan Dham with the elderly gopis, very much absorbed in the mood of maternal affection for Krishna. That maternal affection manifesting as a spirit to protect. What does motherhood mean? Well, first and foremost, from the lesson we get from the gopis here, motherhood means to protect. Not only Rohini and Yashoda, but a broader group of the elderly gopis had this maternal feeling. Actually, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, at the beginning of this section where these mantras are chanted, and at the end of the section, he mentions specifically that out of maternal affection, this mood of protecting Krishna arose. So think of that scene, very loving, protective scene. Protecting not just with the rituals of the mantras, but with their love. The gopis were expressing this rasa with Krishna. Parentalhood, maternity specifically. They're exchanging that with Krishna. And we see it, it's visible before our eyes, with this need of protection. Now, Thalpat says modern civilization is different. So I'm going to read something to you that's different than this, which reflects modern civilization. And you choose. All of you choose what kind of civilization you want to live in. You can choose this civilization of Bodhya, or you can choose modern civilization. This is what modern civilization has to say about motherhood. This is an article that was published in an academic journal from Oxford University. And the little teaser that put the thing they put in there to get you to read it says as follows. Babies are not real people. Female Oxford academic claims doctors should have the right to kill unwanted or disabled infants. Now, this is not talking about abortion. It's not talking about abortion. That's bad enough. But just see how modern civilization is advancing. The article begins. Doctors should have the right to kill newborn babies because they are disabled, too expensive, or simply unwanted by their mothers, an academic with links to Oxford University has claimed. Francesca Minerva, a philosopher and medical ethicist, argues a young baby is not a real person, and so killing it in the first days after birth is little different than aborting it in the womb. Even a healthy baby could have its life snuffed out if the mother decides she cannot afford to look after it, the article published by the British Medical Journal group states. The journal's editor has defended the piece, saying the publication's role is to present well-reasoned arguments rather than to promote one particular moral view. This is modern civilization. As I said, if you thought abortion was bad, now you have someone in a very respected journal saying that it's okay that after you're born, still, you can kill the child. It's actually not different, so much different than killing the child in the womb. The child's out now, what's the difference? The reasons they give are that if the mother decides that she doesn't want to look after the child or can't afford to look after the child. This is what motherhood means. Mother means that you can decide, well, I don't want to look after the child. It's too much trouble, costs too much money. Of course, no one said anything when you're having sex. You can't restrict that. But the result of that is that you can, if you think it's too expensive or just too much trouble, then you can just kill the child. Their reasoning? They state that like an unborn child, a newborn has yet to develop hopes, goals, dreams, and so on. And so while clearly human is not a person, someone with a moral right to life. It's almost unbelievable. It's comical. No hopes, goals, and dreams? What about karma? Because they don't know the soul, they come up with all kinds of crazy things like this, killing the child because there's no hopes, goals, and dreams a few days after birth. This is modern civilization, so you choose. Someone may read this description from the Srimad Bhagavatam and say, oh, such quaint sort of quaint rituals or customs that they do really have no meaning. So they may dismiss the simple life of Braja in this way, where they're praying to the Lord in his various forms for protection. But then the alternative they choose is just killing the child within the womb and outside the womb. And of course, that could be extended. I mean, how long does this reasoning of not being able to afford or being inconvenienced in some way go? Goes to old people, right? Old people are next, right? Old people are next. What about someone that's 19 or something like that? Not doing too good in school? Not much of a future? Why not, you know? What's the future for them?
What year was this published?
It's 2012. But the sad part about this article is that it's not something new. It's not modern civilization. It's a civilization, materialistic civilization, that has been going on for centuries. The article actually quotes Greek civilization, Roman civilization, where infanticide was a regular practice. So it's not new. It's what this material world is all about. So you have your choice. You can choose the Vrindavan atmosphere where maternity spreads to a broad group of people. This conception of having seven mothers is such a wonderful thing. Here, in material modern civilization, the one mother, the birth mother, has the right to kill you. But in Vedic civilization, seven mothers are there. Such affection and protection is afforded to everyone, beginning from the mother. Actually, this is Vaishnav culture. Vaishnav culture takes this care that we find in the mothers protecting Krishna and makes it a very integral part of our lives as devotees of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he exhibited this in so many of his pastimes. I was just listening this morning to the Mahaprakash Leela, where Lord Chaitanya tells Haridas Thakur how he personally took the blows that were issued to him in those 21 marketplaces when they were attempting to kill Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to protect his devotee, personally took those blows himself, so that his devotee would not suffer. And he tells Haridas Thakur there that all the wealth in all the universes are not as valuable to him as a single devotee. As a single devotee. So this idea of, in a Vaishnava society, of protecting one another is a very, very essential part. And better late than never, there is an endeavor. I think Kamaha probably may have spoken about some of the things that are being discussed in the GBC, and by a broader group of devotees at the recent ISKCON Leadership Sangha that took place in Sri Mayapur Dham. But a very, very important part of that endeavor is devotee care. How to care for and protect the devotees. How to take this mood that the elderly gopis had here, which was their life in Braja, and spread it around to all the devotees. There's a committee called the Devotee Care Committee, and they published this little book here. It's full of instructions on how to care for the Vaishnavas, how care is expressed among the Vaishnavas. Now I just wanted to read a little bit from this to give you some idea, some points to meditate upon as we think about and take this instruction from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam on loving protection. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Prabhukahi Vaishnava Seva Nama Sankirtan Dhi Kari Snigdha Pada Sri Krishna Charan. You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So what is that Vaishnava Seva? Harinam Sankirtan, maybe we know, maybe we don't. But what is that Vaishnava Seva? Well, this committee, which is comprised of some very nice devotees, it's really a shame that all the devotees don't get to meet these devotees from around the world when they come together twice a year to discuss these things. Some very nice devotees that probably, they're not like sannyasis and things like that, so they're not traveling, and so it's rare that you may not see them unless you go to Mayapur during the meeting time or something like that, but very nice devotees. One devotee, Devaki, Mother Devaki, Devaki Devi Dasi, very senior devotee, travels quite widely and preaches, but she has some nice things to say in this issue. And there's, I always get it, Radhika Raman. Is it Radhika or is it?
Radhika.
Radhika, yes. I always get it wrong. Calling Radhika Raman, but it's Radhika Raman, president of the ISKCON Tirupati Temple. He's like the chairman of this committee. Very nice devotees are very concerned, and that concern comes out here in different ways. And I just want to read to you some things here. They break down care for devotees into different classifications. Spiritual care. Here are some of the elements of spiritual care which they mentioned. That care should be should involve, each devotee should receive care and individual guidance. Individual guidance to ensure the spiritual growth of each devotee, they should get education and inspiration based on Srila Prabhupada's books. Nidhi Lakshmani is facilitating a course in Bhakti Shastri here later this year. Prabhupada wanted these different degree programs, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhab, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. And devotees are working hard to develop and to teach these courses. And it's a matter of care. We come together every day not just to get some education or some instruction, but we come to imbibe the care, the love that Srila Prabhupada is giving us through his books, and to share that with each other. And so spiritual care for devotees very much involves making sure that they get instruction from Srila Prabhupada's books. And spiritual care also means nurturing behaviors and attitudes to create a healthy Vaishnava community with unity and diversity. We have a large community of devotees here, but we should strive to create a healthy Vaishnava community, understanding the differences among us and how we can work together to spread Srila Prabhupada's movement. So those are some aspects of spiritual care. There are other aspects listed here, but I don't have time to go through all of them. The next area is emotional care. Emotional care, what does that mean? How do we emotionally care for devotees? Well, some of the things mentioned here are acknowledging good service. It's like now they've started this thing in Madan Mohan's poking every day. Read who dressed the deities so that we can appreciate and acknowledge their service. It's such an enlivening part of our lives to come and see the beautiful deities dressed here. So who did that service? We can acknowledge that. And Mother Sri Vrindavan, I mean, what a wonderful service she's doing with arranging the book tables and preaching in that way. So very valuable service that needs to be acknowledged because it's so important and spiritually enlivening to the devotees. So acknowledging the service of the devotees. And I mentioned just those two, and I don't mean by mentioning those two to discount anyone else's service. Everyone's doing such wonderful service. But all members need to feel worthy of being respected and honored. Sometimes honor and respect is given selectively, but that's all members should feel honored and respected. I think this practice that we see at the Sunday feast of welcoming newcomers in public, I think that's very good. It gives people a feeling that they belong. And so that's part of the emotional connection they have to us. And then there are different types of systems that have been developed for providing ongoing spiritual development for the devotees, counseling systems, bhakti viksha programs, manhattan programs, or different satsanga groups. I think in a community like this, these satsanga groups is a very important thing because small groups of devotees get together and they can discuss in more depth and detail the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how to care and love for each other, sharing bhishadam together. And so these small groups, although in one sense you may think, well, it's dividing us. No, it's not dividing us. It's uniting us because it's making us all stronger in our Krishna consciousness. And so those kind of satsanga groups, I think, are very good. And other types of emotional care, relationship issues, sadhachara or behavior, and then counseling things, are there always a part of emotional care. Now, there's social care also. There's family-oriented social care and renunciation-oriented social care. There's a nice article in here by Radha Gopinath Prabhu, who's a temple president at ISKCON Chaupati. And they have a lot of brahmacharis there. We don't have so many here. But they have a lot of brahmacharis there. And he stresses in his article how it's important for brahmacharis to get to be cared for in a way that they are satisfied so that they can go on rendering their service. And of course, that includes instructions in the Shastra and also appropriate relationships with amongst themselves. If you're a brahmachari or brahmachari and there's trouble in the ashram, do you want to stay there? You think, well, get out of here, you know? And where do you get out to? You may get out to the grihastha ashram, but maybe that's not the best reason, just to get away from trouble. So I jump in, out of the fire. Into the fire. So there needs to be programs to get culture and nurture brahmacharya and brahmacharya ashrams. Elderly care. We need to know how to engage older devotees, make sure they're taken care of, and feel that the years that they've given their life to Krishna were worthwhile. Children should also be considered valued members of the community and have suitable programs that are meant to help them become enlightened in Krishna consciousness and engaged in doing service. So different types of social care that are important. Again, this idea of Vaishnava community, unity and diversity. I think in this community, we're probably unique in ways in which that only maybe in this county, the University of Florida can rival. The University of Florida may rival us in terms of people from different countries simply because they have foreign students who come to study there at a world-class university. But right out here in La Trobe, we have a world-class community that's probably not rivaled anywhere, at least in North Central Florida. So they're from so many different countries and cultural backgrounds. That's a strong selling point. Can be a flashpoint for difficulty also, but if we come together on the platform of Vaishnava relationships, unity and diversity, then it can be a great strength in our preaching and appeal to others. And the last area in which there's some instruction here is physical care. We have to ensure the devotees know how to take good care of their health. We had a little start or shock at the JVC meetings. His Holiness Rupa Swami all of a sudden got up one morning, and the previous night he'd been taken off to the hospital with what was apparently a blood clot in his lung. Too many times we have these things come up, and we should know how to advise the devotees to take good care of their health. It's very important, and Prabhupada set the example in that way. Many stories about how Prabhupada himself would advise people about how to treat illnesses or bodily wounds. So it's very, very important. Huh? I heard that he had gone to the Bhaktivinoda Hospital in Mumbai after this blood clot had been diagnosed that that's what it was, and he was undergoing some treatment there. I haven't heard since. Have you heard something, Maharaj?
He was getting treatment for his knee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah, I should make sure we get some good medical advice too. I mean, you may be used to trying alternative methods, but I mean, we have so many doctors in our community right here. Let's get some good advice and try standard things. Our health is not something we want to play with. Now, a lot of times devotees, temple-dependent devotees, they don't really have access, money in terms to get good health care, but you know, we should do something about that as well. So we want to try to help make sure that everyone has that. And then just good, clean living accommodations is important as well. So these are some of the things under the physical care that we can try to offer to others. But all these things are methods by which we can serve the Vaishnavas and serve them in order to protect them. Protect them so that they can serve Krishna peacefully in their life. And if we do these things, actually, I think we'll find that our community will automatically grow. Our community will automatically grow because people actually don't want this type of civilization where they're killing. Now they're justifying killing the baby outside the womb. That they'll start justifying killing older people. That they'll justify killing anyone that doesn't fit their sense gratification. That type of civilization is not attractive to people. But a loving, caring society of devotees who come together to worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, that will be very, very attractive to condition souls in this material world. So we should strive to create a society like that. So I'll just leave you with these thoughts today. We won't take any questions, but I think it's a matter to think over, especially as Gaur Purnima is just 2 days away. Thinking of what we can do individually to create this type of devotee care, love and worship in our community so that we can please His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.